Item C, the discussion agenda, the branch semi-annual contract reporting requirement, the report listing executed contracts and vendor payments, and this is an action item. And good morning. Nope, good afternoon.
Yes,
and
good.
I'd ask you all to please introduce yourself for those listening by audiocast.
Zlatko Theodorovic, AOC Finance Division.
Grant Walker, AOC Finance Division.
John Judnick, Finance Division.
Kurt Soderling, Trial Court Administrative Services Division.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Good morning, Chief, members of the Council. We're here to discuss the, as the Chief mentioned, the contract branch, judicial branch contract reporting requirements. Have with me Kurt, John, and Grant to help with any questions and to walk us through any of the issues that are presented before you. As you're all well aware, in March, the spring contracting law was passed, imposing additional requirements on the branch with respect to our contracting procedures. The discussion today is with respect to the reporting requirements. I would note that we are coming back to the council in April to discuss the contracting manual and the discussion that was had earlier in the fall with respect to the changes that we need, and we are convening a working group and working on changes to the manual, but this is just to respect to the report. The council will be provided two semi-annual reports that will then be submitted to the Joint Legislative Budget Committee and to the State Auditor. The difficulty at this that we've noticed in this first report are the time frames. We're hopefully looking and working with the legislature to adjust the time frames because they do come at some very difficult times for us in terms of year-end close and just after the fiscal year changes. We'd like to look for some flexibility there to make it a little more easier on workload basis. With respect to the responsibility of the data, the council needs to be presented accurate data, consistent and complete data. And those come from two systems, the Oracle financial system managed by the finance division and the Phoenix financial system managed by TCAS. Therein lies an issue in terms of managing two systems to provide that accurate, consistent information. We have to work diligently on providing timely and accurate and consistent form and format. But with those two systems, we have certain limitations and difficulties in managing that, but we've done the best we can, and we'll go through the details of the reports later so you can see a sample of the different reporting forms. Just to make you aware, it is my responsibility to present to the council for acceptance the reports that are to be submitted to the JLBC and the state auditor. And so we have been working with all the representatives at the courts and within the branch to make sure that we can provide the best first report. Let me just walk through you with a little bit of the important points of what is included in the reports. There are three required categories. It's a list of all contractors and vendors receiving payments. Each has to be distinctly identified, and all contract amendments need to be identified in the report. The report, as far as the information by vendor, has to identify the goods and service, the amount of the payment, and the type of good or service provided. It's a very prescriptive reporting format for us, and that's why I think our systems have done a decent job of addressing all of the information that's been requested. As you can see with the amendment report, there's quite a bit of information that is being requested by the BSA, and we're still looking to see how they're going to respond when we get the report to them and how they'll use the information. There are some points I'd like to make in terms of what is specifically excluded and what is required. Trial court construction is not required and is not included in the reports, but any maintenance contracts for facilities not under the operation and management of DGS are included. We did in this first report have a few exclusions that I think we will be working on to include in the next report. As you can see there, again, this is a first report, and we know that there are glitches, and there was quite a bit of data cleaning that we had to do. But again, we're working on making this the best report for this first sort of abbreviated short time frame that we had to go through this first process. To provide you a bit of the report statistics, I think was quite a bit of work done by all to make this report clean. Over 9,000 payments were made by Superior Courts, as reported, 2,400 by other judicial branch entities, and $83 million on one side and $92 million on the other. John, if anybody's interested in seeing the report, you can now say that you've seen the report. It's quite lengthy. Over 300 pages of information that we're providing in this first go around for the report. I think what we'll do now is we'll have Kurt and Grant just talk to you a little bit about the process they went to make sure that we comply with statute to the best of our ability at this point.
So we were both engaged in training efforts, for all the judicial branch entities with web access and other forms of presentations. We've looked at the data and we massaged the data. Worked with the trial courts on as the data was input, trying to make sure it was as accurate as possible. We also went through the effort on the trial court Phoenix side of things. We opened up an opportunity for the courts to verify the data that had been input into the system. And the reason that was important to do is from time to time there can be errors in inputting. We had one court in particular that the first blush, it looked like they had a contract for $1 billion, and that was basically a slip of some decimal points. So the way to kind of look at this is it's a data dump for all intents and purposes. So in this effort, too, as Slotko indicated, we went through our best efforts to try and prepare this information. A few anomalies, I'm not going to go through all of this, but as an example, if there is a contract for 3 years, with the dollar, all 3 years' worth of those dollar values are going to be counted in that information as it's input into the system. There's some things that we don't have the detail on, and that would be like credit card purchases and revolving fund reimbursements. And there were some other exclusions here for contracts involving litigation weren't included. HCRC was not included. And there's some non-contract payments that were excluded on the Oracle or AOC side of things, but were included on the Phoenix trial court side of things. And the reason to explain that, there are two reports for both of us, one's contracts, one's amendments and payments. There are areas where payments will be made and there won't be a contract. And to explain that, there are things like postage, utilities, advertising, those are areas where a payment will be made, as an example, by a trial court, but there is no specific contract. So on the contracts report and the payments report, you'll see some blanks there. So legitimately, for good business reasons, there won't be a contract in those instances.
So go ahead. Turn to you.
Oh, go ahead. Grant.
He already covered that. So at least, again, for the litigation contracts, you know that the AOC does a lot of litigation for the branch. We excluded the dollar amounts for that as we don't disclose ongoing costs or costs for ongoing litigation. As you're also aware that there are certain sensitivities to habeas corpus resource center contracts, so that information was also excluded from the report, and all of this will be in a cover letter to the legislature and to the state auditor. And John's now putting up a couple of samples of the report. You can't read that unless you have better eyes than I do.
But you received as handouts two pages, double-sided, one for the Superior Court, a sample for the contract report, one page, and one page as a sample for the Superior Court payment report, similarly for the other judicial branch entity reports. Again, just samples of the over 400 pages that we have of reports as of the current moment.
And I believe you do have access to a Moodle site so that you can go on and see the entire report if you would like to review that.
And just one comment, recognize that the 400-page report represents 3 months' worth of data because of the October starting period for when this became active. So the next report, you might logically think, maybe almost 800 pages long, since this will include 6 months' worth of data.
Yep. I think staff have done a great job in working together with all the impacted parties. We've had to work with staff out in the courts, the Habeas Corpus Resource Center, whatnot, to try and provide as clean a report for this first time as we go through. But we do know that we'll be engaging the BSA to see if there's things that, and upon reviewing the very first report, things that they really didn't think will be meaningful in their review and analysis. So we expect to be working with them and hopefully providing them more meaningful data and hopefully lightening the load a bit in terms of what staff have to go through. So with that, staff recommend that you accept the report submitted for the reporting period of October 1st through December 31st for the Superior Courts, the Supreme Court, Courts of Appeal, Judicial Council, and the HCRC, and approve for submission to the Joint Legislative Budget Committee and the State Auditor.
Thank you. Any questions or comments of the presenters on the recommendation to accept the two reports for presentation to the legislature? Judge Rosenberg?
I would make that motion, but I do have a question. What have you found substantively in this analysis in terms of where the contracts, or for what services generally the contracts are made? Is there some trend that you're seeing, or is it all over the place?
Well, speaking for the Phoenix side of things, it seems to be all over the place at this point in time. There is a higher level of activity on the trial court side of things because in capturing all that payment information. You know, we're dealing with, if you will, 58 entities versus, you know, just the balance of the branch. So it's pretty early at this point in time that we didn't see anything that just jumped out at us in a quick review of the data that would, you know, raise an alarm, so to speak.
As Kurt pointed out, the reports for the Superior Courts have a lot of blanks in the PO number and contract number column, which represent, at least from an audit standpoint, a recognition from our audit reports that there are a lot of agreed-upon processes that are not documented by the courts in terms of purchase orders and contracts, and that's supported by the prior audits that we've issued.
Thank you. Judge Sowell.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of accepting the recommendations found under tab C, item on pages 1 and 2, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you for the presentation. This time, I'm going to have Judicial Counsel break early for lunch because we would like to invite Judge Pines and to do a special presentation during our lunch hour. And so we'll get us back on track for discussion items. We will convene again at 1:35 here in the Judicial Council Board. Is it 1:35? Oh, no, I'm sorry. 1:15. Thank you. 1:15.